time without seeing you. Please do keep your Bibles open in Hebrews chapter 7, and we are going to think a bit more on those verses. So the question I would like you to consider this morning is the next. Who do you cling to when you are in need of help? Who do you cling to when you are in need of help? I guess if you come as me from a very friendship culture where all our relationships are very and deep constructed on friendship, then when you are in need of help, the first person in which you lean or set your weight are your friends. I have a few friends I come right to at any moment when I need prayers, when I need to talk, or just when I need to say something. I have my friends. Or maybe this year, for example, in Argentina, we have presidential elections. And of course, people will put their trust in different parties, in different politicians, in different leaders. As a country, we would wish good leadership for our future. We would wish they would do something different. But will they finally do something different? That's a different question, right? Or will they fail again? Who knows? Other people lean on a religion, in the Pope, as in my country, to lead the Catholic Church back to a better place, or maybe archbishops, pastors, institutions, or even your own self as a good person, as someone who can do it well enough. But all of them will eventually come to an end. All of them will die. But perhaps many will ultimately fail you. For example, this is a very silly example, but I don't trust anyone who calls soccer to football. That's a very, very personal thing. My question to you is more deep. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? Who do you cling to when you are in need of help? Actually, people from this letter were in need of help for their whole life. They were facing trials and persecution. They felt tired of running the race of the Christian life. And they wanted to give up on Jesus. They were scared, tired, tempted, hard-hearted, and overwhelmed. These people urgently needed help. And the terrible situation was that they were looking for help in different places. Even in the Old Testament, priests and rituals. But not in the right place. They weren't hearing and couldn't eat the solid food of Jesus, who was better than they thought. So, three things I want you to learn about Jesus today. Number one, Jesus is a better priest because he is from a better family line. Jesus is a better priest because he is from a better family line. Read please down with me. Verses 1 to 3 again. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Then also, king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. When was the last time you thought about this guy? I'm going to name as least as I can. But who is he? Who is this man? The text says he is a king and he is a priest at the same time. But the one remarkable thing is that he is without genealogy. So, which means he didn't have a birthday, basically. You know those, this kid that have a birthday on the 29th of February? So they have a birthday, I think, 4 years. And then they don't have it for another 4 years. But that fact is very important. Because he's a king and priest without beginning of days or end of life, which basically means he's an eternal king and he's an eternal priest. And that's the point of the text, that he resembles the Son of God, Jesus, in that very sense. He's an eternal priest. He remains a priest and a king forever. And Jesus is part of this line. As the previous chapter says, he has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And before you keep going with this image, when we say priest, we don't mean a modern figure of priest necessarily, like the Catholic one or others you may have in mind. What the author got in mind is an image of Old Testament priests. In fact, Levites, and this guy whose name I'm not going to pronounce again. And yeah, what the author is saying that is that this Melchizedek is a much greater image of a priest. How we know that? Well, if you've paid attention, you realize that Abraham, who was the greatest figure in the Old Testament, the father of the faith, came to this man and he gave a tenth to this, to him. So look at verse 4 with me. Just think how great he was, Melchizedek. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. This Melchizedek was a great man, but please, please, don't go thinking just about him. This is not the Melchizedekian church, as you know. He's just a shadow. He's just a good illustration of a greater and a better man. And as the text says, he just resembles Jesus, the Son of God. And that's the case. Jesus is greater than the Old Testament priest. He's greater than the Levites from the Old Testament. He is a better priest because he comes from this better line, from the line of Melchizedek. But that's not all. Number two, Jesus is a better priest because he lives forever. So Old Testament priests should come from a specific tribe. That tribe was the tribe of Levi. That was enough. So, I mean, you couldn't be part of the priests if you weren't related to them. It wasn't a vocational thing. It depended on a specific bloodline. So it's very like World Cups, football World Cups. You don't, if you're from the Netherlands, you don't win finals, you don't win World Cups, as you know they must win finals. But if you're from a specific lines of some countries, then you won some World Cups. That includes you, mate, so don't worry. Not always speaking about my country. So, or maybe if you're the Argentinians, me, and you come to this country and you start hearing about the odd, strange, a very beautiful sport for you, then cricket, then if you're not from this land, this line, you may not understand it much, as I sense normally. And forgive me about that, please. But Jesus, what the text is saying, is that he's so different, he's so out of this line, that he's even not from the verse 14 with me. For it is clear, says the word, that our Lord descended from Judah. And in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. But even more importantly, just imagine yourself being a Jew, a really good religious Jew. You would visit the priest at least once a year so he could intercede for you before God and offer sacrifices for your sins. And you would go every year to see him. But eventually, this Levite, this priest, is going to die. He's a human. It's you and me. And that showed that this Levite was just a weak priest. They are all imperfect and weak Levites who die all the time. And maybe you developed a really good relationship with this Levite, with this priest. It's very like when you find a good doctor, right? And you know this is a really good doctor. I like how he treats me, how he cares for me. I don't want another one. I remember the other doctors. You know that, right? And yes, you feel like secure with him. You want to go with him. And he really seems to care for you. And you like him, you say, that's my doctor. But suddenly, your doctor moves away to another job in another city. And now you have to look for another doctor. And you know how difficult is that. Or maybe when we end up watching a good series on Netflix, you feel like, wow, that was a really good series, right? But we don't know what to watch next. And it's really difficult to find it, right? To replace it. You have to replace those weak Levites who die all the time. And that's why you need a better priest. One who wouldn't move away. One who wouldn't die. One who is not weak. You need, verses 16 and 17, one who has become a priest, not on the basis of a revelation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever, in the order of Melchizedek. You and me, we need a better priest. Not one with a weak life, but one with an indestructible life. One who God declares to be forever, an eternal priest, one who cannot die. One priest who has conquered death and who lives forever, and who can set head for you forever. And because Jesus is this priest, and because he lives forever, number three, he gives us a better hope. Jesus is a better priest because he gives us a better hope. Read down with me verse 18, please. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. We said the Levitical priesthood had been set aside because of its inferiority, because it was weak. They are all weak Levites who die all the time. And look at verse 23. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. They were just mortal men. They couldn't be the final solution. And the fact that they died shows us that they couldn't really help you and me with the problem of sin. If your doesn't and can't bring people into God's presence. It doesn't and can't cleanse people of their sins. But Jesus' new priesthood brings better hope and draws people into God's presence. Jesus can enter God's presence and as our eternal priest can intercede for us and can intercede for our sins once and for all. And since he cannot die, he remains in heaven for you and me, an anchor of our faith, a better hope, a better security in him, an assurance of free access to God through him. You realize, dear brother, that because of this work of Jesus, we can enjoy to have a relationship with the living God. You can have a relationship with God because of Jesus. And you can enjoy a boldness and a confidence of a very personal relationship with God. And this does not depend on your comfort, on your feelings. It depends on a man who cannot die, who cannot fail you, and who cannot be defeated by death. Jesus assures us a better and a very near relationship with God. In fact, verse 22 says that an oath from God certifies that Jesus' priesthood will never cease. Read on with me verse 22, please. Because of this oath, Jesus has become a guarantor of a better covenant. This is a better priest in which sins, our sins, are truly and finally forgiven. Let me ask you again, who do you cling to when you are in need of help? Well, God invites you to cling to Jesus, to this living priest, to the living Christ, because he can help and save you completely. That's our last point. Number four, cling to the living Christ because he can help and save you completely. Read on with me these marvelous verses, verse 24 to 26. And because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our needs. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Let me ask you this. How do you know your sins are forgiven? How do you know this? Well, this text says that we can be assured of our forgiveness of sins through Jesus' atoning death, but also because of his constant intercession for us. He always lives to intercede for them. Isn't it really sweet and lovely when someone approaches us and says, "Hey brother, hey sister, I pray for you"? That's one of the glorious and kindest things that can happen to us in church. When someone tells us, "I'm praying for you." I think this, the text is saying that a better man, that a better place, that a man who lives forever, who cannot die, who cannot fail you, who will not upset you, is praying for you. Jesus prays Berkhof said, it is a consoling thought that Christ is praying for us, even when we are negligent in our Christians and in our prayer lives. He intercedes for us to save us completely. He can keep you today and every day of your life until the end. He can save you and help you with all your sins, with all your weaknesses, with all your trials. Be assured that this man truly can help you and save you completely. Can you see? This man can save you completely. And he intercedes for you. Then don't turn back. Or don't turn away from Jesus. And turn back to those Levites who die all the time. Don't give up on Jesus. Don't turn to the saints. Don't turn to Mary. Don't lean on your pastor. On your pastor. Don't lean on your church. They are all weak. And all of them will die. Don't turn even to other Christian institutions to find, to maintain you on track. They will fail you. But they will end up at any moment. But Jesus wants. Who do you cling to when you are in need of help? Where do you go when you want to keep living the Christian life? Then go to this man who prays for you, who intercedes for you, and who is your righteousness in heaven before God. Let me just finish with a very old story. A few years ago, I was at the age of 18, I was helping with a plantation of a church in the deep countryside of the north in my country. So meanwhile, I was working on a farm. So I usually work during the week on the farm, and on the weekends I would travel to that church to help them with other friends. And we normally travel hiking, you know, like doing this. Yes, great. So we would wait until someone stop and say, yeah, I can take you there. But going back to the farm after all that weekend was the real issue, because the farm was deep in the mountains, and you couldn't walk there. Well, you could, but it wasn't the best thing to do. And we would generally be back on Sunday at 6 p.m. to take only bus that would take us back to the farm. And if you lost it, then you don't have another one, and you must wait a week. Of course, to the story to work, we arrived late because hitchhiking was difficult that day. And we decided to walk up to the farm. And that was a really bad decision. Plus, I had a tennis bag. I don't know if you have seen it. Some of those big bags that normally the tennis players would put rackets on them. Rackets that weighed 250 grams. And it was mine was full of clothes and very heavy stuff, not just a few rackets. So it was very heavy. We, with my friend Pablo, so we did less than half the way and we stopped. We were exhausted. And in fact, I was starting to get hurt by the weight of my bag. So we stopped, we prayed, we started to get darkness, dark and dark, and we decided to rest for 5 minutes, or at least that was the idea. And after 5 minutes, and after we prayed to the Lord for help, we heard a little noise, like, okay, and it starts to be even more and more strong. What was it? It was a tractor. So when the tractor approached us, we asked him for a lift. And of course, if you have seen it, they don't have much space inside them. So we were two, We have one space inside next to the driver, and the other space was in the scoop of the church. That was great. He even, when I sit on the scoop, he even lifts up the scoop. That was great. But you know what? When I took off my bag, I felt really, really released. And finally, I could rest. And I looked to my friend, and we looked to each other. When you're a friend, and you know, it was God answering your prayer. And brothers, the reason why the Father answered our prayer was, is, and will be because of the man who intercedes for us and is seated at the right hand of God as our justice. The Lord looked to us with favor because he looked to us through Jesus. He is the anchor of our faith, the bedrock of our faith. So take off your bag full of your sins, full of your trials, full of your weakness, and rest, trust, and be assured, clinging to this eternal place, you cannot die. And just pray. Father, thank you so much for your kindness. Thank you because we can be assured of our forgiveness of sins, because of Jesus Christ, who is a better priest, with a better hope, with a better help, who understands us, who can help us whatever we are facing. I pray you that you may help today our hearts, our minds, to be set on Jesus alone, and only in him alone. We pray that in Jesus' name. When we end, I'd like to set a question for you, so you can share with the person next to you for a few minutes. And the question is the next. I think it's the. Yeah, thank you. How have you been encouraged to cling to Christ more? So take the talk about that. The person next to you.
Been given the privilege of praying after the sermon. you've had a good morning, we're going to think about it. You've had the people joining, the aperitif, you've had the main course, and now we're coming to this pudding, the sweet. Before we do that, cricket rules. When you're in, you're out. And when you're out, you're in. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this reminder who our Saviour is. The man who knows us through and through. That holy, precious Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we only come in his name. We only come through him. Because he is our Lord and our Saviour. He has died for us to make us pure before you. That we can come into your presence, the Holy God, and say, Father, Father, we love you because you have first loved us. Lord Jesus gave his life for us. Not just here upon earth, but he left the heavens, the glory of heavens, and came and lived amongst us. A holy and righteous man amongst a vile and filthy people. And why? Because he loved us. And why did he love us? Because his Father has given to us, given to him, us, his people, as a reward for his love for him. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the hope that we have, that one day we shall see him face to face. And Lord, our time is drawing very close. Lord, we pray that your kingdom will indeed come. Lord, we look at this world and we see absolute chaos. We see wars, famines, floods, earthquakes, bitterness, hardness of heart, power struggles, all sorts of things. But Lord, there is something else so tremendous in this world. But this world is not even aware of it. And Lord, that is your church. And we pray, Lord, that as a church here, and your church worldwide, in every nation of this world, that we will be salt and light. That will be a means of drawing men and women to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. That hardness and bitterness of heart will cease, and love will be part of that life. They will find hope in him, the Lord Jesus, as we have found hope. Lord, you sent people to us to tell us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we responded, Lord, because you worked in our hearts at work of grace. And we pray, Lord, that throughout this world, now and in the future, men and women who are believers of the Lord Jesus Christ will use that which you have given to them, his love, his grace, his mercy. Lord, help us to preach the gospel in such a way that our lives are a reflection of him. Lord, this world is in desperate need. Wherever we look, wherever we listen on the news, our hearts sink if we only look at the world. We have to remind ourselves constantly that you are at work in this world. That nothing surprises you about what happens, whether as we as believers who are often failures, or not just in your eyes but in our own in a sense, because we want to be like Jesus. We want to love and care for people like Jesus did. Lord, we fail miserably day after day, and this world has no hope except they hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, when this world draws to an end, what will we have to say about it for ourselves as a church? How will we stand before God on that day? Lord, we thank you that our sins have been forgiven. We thank you that you knew what we were like. You You chose us not because we're nice people, but because you have loved us. And you gave your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our high priest. That's already been said, who is in there interceding for us day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, because we are so slow at ourselves. Oh Lord, forgive us. Forgive that we're not, as it were, forcing our way into heaven with prayers. Lord, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he said, when you pray. Lord, may that be the case of us. When we pray, we will pray as individuals, as a church. Lord, we thank you for the message this morning. Our Jesus is there interceding for us. Our Savior is there because he loves us and gave himself for us. We thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have, that soon, very soon, one day, we shall see you face to face. One day, all this will be ended. Lord Jesus, reign.